All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 1st. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
Reggie Davis.
Oh, I've got Reggie Davis barking in the background, I think. It's going to be a mute session.
That's my dog, man.
We got Reggie started barking just in time. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You know the drill, DFSR.com/MLB gets you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for MLB, DraftKings, and FanDuel. NFL, when the time comes around, I think we have PGA coming down the pike. NBA, we're all covered in the one subscription blanket. So DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you started. Buddy, I got to tell you, I'm going to have trouble focusing. I'm reeling from last night's Cavs-Warriors game. I'm having trouble coming.
I haven't seen you this uncomfortable. Like, I'm trying to think the last time you simply didn't want to talk about something, and you couldn't even you wanted to talk about, break down what happened on that final play, but you had difficult, couldn't quite exactly remember, but you actually can't physically go back and watch it. So I'm a little bit worried about you.
I don't think honest. I can watch. I know there's an MLB podcast, but whatever. I don't think I can watch game two. I'm kind of being serious. Like it's not even like I'm a huge Cavs fan or anything. I've been a big LeBron. I will say it's nice to have been on the LeBron's the best ever thing, like way earlier than nearly everyone has come around to this now. Like even just like random people I see that I know were LeBron hating like 5 years ago when we were kind of been like, I don't think anyone recognizes what they're seeing here, but, or some people were. So I think I'm like rooting for the Cavs in that sense, but I'm
Hold
also just,
do you think a guy with a 3-5 record in the finals?
Okay. Well, whatever. So I don't think that like, I mostly just don't like things that like bad things to happen on fluky stuff. And so that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like if Curry comes down and makes a three,
then whatever,
you
lose.
Fine.
Right.
But the fact that you just can't picture J.R. Smith having to just like wake up this morning and be like, well, I'm the dumbest person in the world. Like that's the part. And everyone else being like, we actually kind of outplayed them. And
in my man JR's credit, I doubt he wakes up and the same brain that has you dribble out the clock with 4 seconds left when you're tied is not the same brain that like has a thoughtful, you know, reimagining session in the morning where you kind of like sit down and think about all the things you did. So I think that that kind of brain works both ways. Anyway, this is MLB podcast, but I'm feeling a little
distraught. It's a DFS podcast. And LeBron is a big part of our DFS lives. So we'll pour an out for him on this one. I mean, who knows? You know, stranger things have happened, but it's sad.
I think we can RIP it. So, all right, we have Big Friday in baseball, first day of June rolling in here. Ooh. And it's going to be an interesting day because we have a handful of ace level pitchers going. We also have a game in Coors. I think as we're going to see when we get to some of these stacks, I think there's are plenty of ways to pivot away from Coors if you want to today.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think this is, you know, they have the highest run line. It doesn't strike me as, you know, this is the middle of the Rockies lineup versus Derek Holland or something like that, where the run line's like 12 and it's all coming on the Rockies side. So we'll talk a little bit about that game. I don't think it's going to be a must stacking situation, though. They clearly are in the best offensive situation. But let's talk about some of these pitchers because we do have some interesting and, you know, sort of difficult decisions to make, I think, at pitcher today. And we'll just start in the game where the two best guys are going here, and they're facing each other, and they're facing each other in not-so-great matchups. And that's Gerrit Cole and Chris Sale. So they're going up against each other, Houston and Boston. They're clearly the two best pitchers on this slate, so I don't think that's in debate. And we'll talk a little bit about Strasburg in a second, but I think these guys are definitely a cut above, especially for what they're doing this season, and Sale for what he's done over the last, you know, whatever, three seasons. But when you look at this game, like right now, our projections on the two are pretty close. It's favoring Cole a little bit, and that's probably just because the money line is a little in his favor. I think if the money line were to switch to Boston being a favorite, I think we would see them maybe flip-flop their projection for both sites. They're both expensive, and right now the system's kind of saying, I can't even believe this. On DraftKings, to say both, play both together. Like, stack their 11-6 and 11,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've seen pitcher, like, our system spit out, play these two pitchers that are going against one another before.
Not on main slate of games. Like, it'll do it on small slate
saying,
of games,
right.
Yeah.
But
main
slate,
never.
Just a full-on slate of games, both pitchers with bad matchups. I mean, basically what it's saying, the math that it's trying to do is, you mentioned that there are a lot of good teams to stack tonight. That's because there are a lot of really bad pitchers. I mean, if you go up and down this thing, like, the first three games, as I pull up the slate, New York, Baltimore, Chicago, New York, Toronto, Detroit, have 9 total or higher. And 2 of those games are pick-ems, so which is to say none of the pitchers are playable remotely. And it just goes on from there. And the other ace that you mentioned earlier, Strasburg, he does not have a good matchup with the Braves, right? So it actually, our system thinks that both Sale and Cole will prevent runs better than Strasburg will against Atlanta. And, you know, right now it's just saying, hey, these guys go deep into games. They strike out a lot of guys. Sure, only one of them can get the win. But you know, with a not so great matchup for Strasburg and really a huge lack of like that tier two pitching tonight,
yeah.
It just wants to lean in that direction. And, you know, I think it's also saying, hey, like right now you're not getting a huge payoff by spending up a ton at the bats. So, hey, just take the pitching safety and move on.
Yeah. And so, and to be fair, you know, when we talk about our systems, spitting out lineups, it doesn't understand the Cole. Well, okay. It doesn't understand in a, like just like an explain, I can't think of the word. It doesn't explain, it doesn't understand that they're facing each other, right? It understands all the factors that go into it. It understands that Cole is facing Boston and Sale is facing
Houston.
It does
though. It understands it on some level because it still will only have the win for the game. Like if you add up
both of
their chances for the win, it's not more than one win. So all those points are allocated appropriately in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's right. Okay, so right. So the win expectancy points are greatly diminished for both because almost every time Sale or Cole take them out, even in their worst matchups, these guys are like -150, -160 favorites.
-250.
I'm saying now that's on their worst days. Like when they're playing someone bad, in the mid 200s or even higher, just because of how good the bats are on their team as well. So this is going to be an interesting spot. Whenever the system is like this at this point in the day, what I mean by that is by saying like defaulting to the two most expensive pitchers, that really doesn't change outside of something crazy happened. Like if the run line got...
Because we're not going to get unexpected expensive guys that you're going to need to prioritize, right?
Right. It's so, like, it's not like Joey Votto's just going to like go and hit in cores all of a sudden, right? Like he's like just exactly. going to move stadiums or whatever. So like those numbers are not going to change that much. So something short of the line driving itself up to like 8, which I do not think is going to happen. I think we're just going to be staring down the barrel at playing these two guys at 22.6 combined salary. And that is a little cheaper than these guys usually come. So I think you're getting you are getting slight discounts on them because of the matchup, probably because there's the game in Coors. It's mostly probably because of the matchup. It sees that they're both facing Boston and Houston, and DraftKings algorithm understands that those are not great matchups. So we do get a price dip because these guys typically live in the 12,000 plus range when their matchups are against even mid-tier guys. And look, Cole has been amazing. He's striking out, 13 batters per nine or something like that.
Yeah.
A little bit less over the short term. So if you look back at his last four games, he's only, quote unquote, striking out 11.5 batters per nine. So it's coming down. That number is coming down a little bit, but it's not coming down. It's basically coming down into the same range as Chris Sale, so who's striking out 12.5 batters per nine. So it's not like you're throwing, it's not like you're getting these terrible pitchers or anything. You're getting arguably the two best pitchers in all of baseball. Now, we mentioned Strasburg a little bit. If we wanted to maybe pivot off these guys because we wanted to load up more on bats, and I think some people are just going to feel uncomfortable with the prospect of, I mean, possibly just playing either one of them, much to say both. Is there a guy that you can pivot off of, or is there any cheaper option at all that you would feel, not the same level of comfort, but that you could make a case for at least?
Well, yeah, so this is where things get a little bit tricky in my mind because, yeah, I mean, there are cheaper options, don't get me wrong, but they've all got their own sort of little hangups, right? So, like, you know, one guy our system would be happy to call out in a normal day would be Miles Mikolas, right? Like, this guy, he just, like, has pitcher two just written all over his chest. 7 Ks per nine, less than one walk per nine. That's a pretty high floor package in a reasonable matchup with the Pirates, nothing terrifying, nothing too special. The pitcher on the other side, Taillon, is reasonable, but again, nothing that should depress things too dramatically. It's just that Mikolas is just not that cheap, right? And at 8,700, to have limited K upside, like Mikolas is a guy that would be a slam dunk in our system if he were like 7,200 or 7,500. And if both Cole and Sale were higher priced, because I think both Cole and Sale are seeing a dramatic price reduction on account of the matchup. And so I think those two factors together are really making it tough for our system to pick out what I would perceive to be like safe value. Because sure, you could go like true full-on punt, like with Jaime Garcia or Sonny Gray or something like that. But is that really where you want to land? I mean, it just seems like you'd be accepting so much risk onto your night tonight for what I think is just relatively little gain. So I think actually the Cole Sale thing makes sense the more you look at it. And I think it plays tricks on your eyes though, just because they're both a little bit cheaper than they ought to be. And that, you know, sometimes our system is going to make counterintuitive suggestions when price moves in a way that doesn't normally, you know?
Yeah, and I think another guy that fits that bill where he's just a little bit too expensive is a guy like Nick Pivetta. So Pivetta has – he's right now at DraftKings. He's a little bit more – he's a little easier to stomach on FanDuel where he's in the mid-8,000s range. Or sorry, I mean low 8,000s. So he's 8,200. He's been really good this season. He's striking out more than 10 batters per nine, really limiting the walks. Like these are the two – the walks are specifically were his bigger problem when he came up with the Phillies last year. He had 133 innings at a near 4 walk rate. Now he's have that almost to 2.17 walks per nine. The xFIP is down to 3.2. He was a big prospect, and really the question was he going to be able to maintain the control, and that looks like it's really rounding out. And he's got an excellent matchup against the Giants, who strike out like 25% of the time against righties. Their WOBA in that split is somewhere around league average, and he also gets a great park upgrade because going from Philly to San Francisco is about as good as it gets in terms of depressing power. So I think
let the other shoe drop already, for Christ's sake. Why can't we play Pivetta?
There's not much one. They're back. It's just 10,000 on DraftKings.
10,000. Like, would you that's pay so much on would, DraftKings?
Right. It's like, yeah, I can pay 10,000 Pivetta, or I can just pay an extra 1,000 for Sale. And I think that even with the matchup, you would much rather take the pedigree on Sale, another 1,600 up for Cole. Now, again, it's a better deal on FanDuel, where the 8,200 is something like $3,000 less than those two guys. And I think from a tournament perspective, you really like. You can do a lot more with your bats when you just take that kind of. You're getting a whole a better hitter and a half or something like that off a punt play, and so like you're getting more middle of the order pedigree guys when you're just giving up or when you're saving that much money. So I think 8,200. If I was going to pivot at all on FanDuel in cash because I was just so worried about the matchup for Cole and Sale, he would be the guy that I would go to. I would just kind of, and I don't usually do that on FanDuel because I don't. Doesn't like usually strike me as correct to do it, but this is one of those situations where I would really consider it, and I have a feeling that our projections on him are pretty low. You mentioned Sonny Gray. I mean, what do you do with Sonny Gray? I'm assuming you looked at some of his stats. This guy, when he's good, he's very good, and when he's bad, he's awful. Like he's had 5 games I think this year where he didn't make it through 5 innings. He's got a decent matchup here, but he's so cheap. He's like in that $5,000 range, and he's becoming as one of our better points per dollar plays. Is he just been too bad this year to – is it like outlier stuff, like because some of these games piled together that have been so bad? Or is it one of those situations where our system sometimes does a pretty good job of calling out pitchers when we're buying at the bottom? Does Gray strike you as a guy that we might be buying at the bottom, or is he kind of just broken at this point?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see that 5-plus walks per nine, that strikes me as broken rather than just kind of running bad, right? Like – only one game this season has he had less than 2 walks. Like, that's not a great start to the season. He's not given up 0 runs in any of his starts this season. He had a pretty good start against Kansas City, so I guess that's something you can hang your hat on. He actually has faced Baltimore one other time this season and was reasonable in that start. It's just, man, like, when you're walking that many batters, it's just awfully tough to be productive, and it's certainly tough to be safe, and even doubly so in a good hitter's park. Against a defense that's not spectacular right now, but also just not, they're not just going to give it up to you, right? Like, you know, they have plenty of guys that can hit right-handed pitching, even though they're somewhat righty-heavy. So, I don't know. I can see a world where it makes sense. I mean, it's so cheap that if you really felt like there were great payoffs on the bat side of things, then I think maybe you could consider it. But doesn't this is a really tough one to eyeball test just because the prices are so different. And it's stupid to say something like, doesn't Gray have a lower floor than a guy like Sale or Cole, whoever you decide to omit? But isn't the difference, like, can you really make up that $6,000 in safety with your bats by going from Cole down to Gray or whatever? Or are you just giving up too much safety? I guess that's ultimately the question that people are going to have to ask now. Because I agree that he's not a terrible option. Like, he's so cheap, especially on a small slate or something, you can consider it. But man, like, a guy with 5 walks per nine, like, we're just going to run him out there in a game with a 10 total? Like, it just seems a little nuts to me.
And the best offenses in baseball today, or I mean, the eyeball best offenses in baseball, all, except for probably the Yankees, have very bad matchups. Like, we mentioned Boston, we mentioned Houston. Yeah. You're not playing, you can't really play either of those
Atlanta
guys.
Against Strasburg.
Exactly, Atlanta against Strasburg. You get Cleveland against Berrios, so you're not, like, not really that excited about that. So, there's a lot of, and these, what I'm mentioning these teams because they're the most expensive bats, and they're the most expensive because they're consistently the best. And I think that even the Angels matchup is fine and not all that awesome. So when you say, you know, are we getting all that much better on offense by not playing one of these expensive guys, I think you're right in saying that we're probably just not. All right, let's get to some of these stacks. Hit us up with a sponsor first.
Yeah, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime is still a great place to go and play one-on-one daily fantasy sports matchups where you don't have to sit down and grind out the whole lineup every night right before lock. You don't have to be there for an hour. You don't have to really sweat injury news all that much. Basically, you just pick one player that you really believe in, and you pick one guy that you think your guy's going to beat, and then you issue the matchup to the world. If someone accepts it, it's game on. If not, no worries. You get your money back. You can also go there and troll through the app and just try to find all the challenges other people have issued. You'll find no shortage of people who simply don't understand the format, or people who issue challenges just based on their own homerism or ego or chip on their shoulder or whatever. So NoHalftime is just a great place to go. I think especially if you're relatively new to DFS or you're struggling on the salary cap game format, it can be a really great change of pace. So NoHalftime.com, use promo code DFSR to get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
All right, we mentioned the Coors game, obviously. It has the highest run line of the day. It's sitting at something like 11 or 11 and a half right now, and I should have just had it up in front of me, and I don't. But anyway, it's 11 right now. There's two pitchers here that aren't complete bums. Now, Dennis Santana is, I believe, making his major league debut here. Yes, he is. So he is, I guess, something of a prospect. He's got a pretty great K rate for his minor league career. He's striking out, I don't know, almost 10 guys per nine, maybe a little bit more. But he's still very much a rookie. And then you have Tyler Anderson going the other way, who's been, I mean, fine. He's nothing to write home about and not the worst pitcher in the world. Does this strike you as a play? And the Dodgers are favored. They're favored by, I don't know.
A pick 'em at this
point. Yeah, minus 120. It seems like you're getting much better prices on some of these Dodger guys. Now, do you see them as... Is this like a place where you just feel like we have to stack Dodgers, or are there enough bum arms going through the rest of the league that it doesn't matter as much? Because some of these Dodgers guys are coming, especially on DraftKings, coming pretty cheap. Like no one's over 4,500 on DraftKings. For a game in Coors, that's almost unheard of. And I'm also just not thinking that they're complete must plays.
Now, I don't know if you need to play five of them or anything, but I think there's some playable guys on both sites. Chris Taylor right now, but our site's liking him on both sites. Against the lefty, we have Cody Bellinger actually on FanDuel as well. He's just 3,700. So I think it's going to be more the way DFS probably ought to be, which is picking and choosing the best plays from a game instead of just having one game where you have to play four or five guys. So yeah, I mean, it seems like a playable option, but yeah, we talked about it a little bit during the pitcher section. There are a number of pretty mediocre pitchers going tonight and a number of guys in pretty reasonable spots. And I think you'll see a collection of guys from multiple different teams. I think actually potentially more interesting will be for big tournaments. Which teams do you want to stack? How deeply do you go on the stack? Or do you take that, pick and choose approach with guys with good platoon spots against bad pitchers or whatever? Because right now our system is not leaning towards, at least for cash games and for safety, it's not leaning towards really going deep on any given stack.
One note about Bellinger too, because I did look this up, because he is in a lefty lefty split here, or lefty lefty platoon. He's actually been platoon neutral for his career so far. His WOBA, and this is another one I had in front of me. Yeah, his WOBA is for his career 363 against righties, 354 against lefties. And it's not.
But you don't need to pretend like you just looked it up. You could have just said you read my article on Sunday, my picks article.
I would never read that. <That's true. laughs> why would I possibly read that? So platoon neutral guys. There are certain guys I get worried about when the price gets depressed, because even when they are in, lefty lefty matchups, Bellinger is not one of those guys. Let's talk about, and then the Rocky side of it. I just don't think we're getting, the deal on them, considering maybe Santana's strikeout upside plus the fact that their implied run line is just a little lower than you usually see for them. You do have guys like Blackman and Dahl in the middle of the lineup that are lefty versus righty that maybe you can talk yourself into, but Blackman's very expensive. He's almost 5,700 on DraftKings. That's getting a little too much unless you're in the very, very best of matchups. So not seeing as much value on the Colorado side, but other people in systems may see that a little differently. I think we're just probably trending a little low. Where else can we look in terms of pitchers to just pick on, parks that might be in good spots, some guys coming cheaper, especially since we've trended some of our theme here toward just rostering one or maybe even two very expensive pitchers on the slate?
Yeah, sure. So I think that there are actually a number of different options. And, in the same way that our system doesn't want to go too deep on any given stack, I don't think it also really sees any of these pitchers as so much worse than any of the rest. And I think Vegas kind of sees it similarly right now, too. But one team I'm looking at a little bit is the Diamondbacks. They're going up against Eliezer Hernandez.
Yep.
Eliezer Hernandez. And I think what it's really liking here is a ridiculously low K rate on Hernandez right now. He's basically basically the definition of a batting practice pitcher. So 4.5 Ks per nine, a half a walk per nine, which means that every guy that gets up there basically is going to be putting the ball in play, aside from the pitcher, probably. And the low ground ball rate of 35% means that a lot of that contact is going to be in the air. And just as an FYI, if you're never making people swing and miss, you're also giving up a hard contact generally as a rule. So yeah, I think the Diamondbacks, you know, they've definitely had their offensive woes this season. I think against a guy like Hernandez, I have to think that there's pretty significant upside here, especially for a guy like Goldschmidt, who, you know, has been more than fine against righties over the course of his career. And even if he's getting a little older, seeing a little ball a little bit worse from the right side of the mound, nobody sees the ball badly off this guy right now. So yeah, I'm definitely looking hard at the Diamondbacks right now.
Yeah, I love Dyson too. They moved Dyson to the top of the lineup here, and he's had he's 11% walk rate so far this season. Ooh. And that's a recipe
for steals, my friend.
It's not elite number, but that's for his price tier, it's elite, right? So like the fact that he's coming
and what he can do when he gets on the base,
yes, know,
like,
correct.
Exactly, that's great.
He's got 67 steals over the last 2.5 seasons. So the guy, he definitely has the green light, 9 steals already this year. He's run very bad on BABIP, so his BABIP is nearly 80 points lower than his career averages. So that's the thing that's actually driving down his on-base percentage, even though he has, like I said, that very, very nice walk rate. I love that they moved him up to the top of the lineup, and again, still coming cheap, only 3,200 on DraftKings. I'm with you on Goldschmidt. Jake Lamb still under 4,000, has some power in the bat. Daniel Descalzo, for some reason, hits cleanup, but he's still coming pretty cheap as well, and they have Peralta. So they have a nice set of lefties. They're going to run, actually, other than Goldschmidt, they're going to run, it looks like, four lefties in Goldschmidt against Hernandez. I'm totally with you there. There's some other guys here going that, you know, Hector Santiago.
That was the next guy on my list, my friend.
How could he not be? I just thought this guy is so bad. The only thing that worries me a little bit about him is that he does have that 8 Ks per 9 strikeout rate, but 4.5 walks per nine, 5.53 xFIP, and this is like with 10 bullpen innings. He's only started 5 games and he's had 15 total appearances. So when your numbers are this bad and you're probably being put in optimal spots anyway, just because you're coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he's coming in as in lefty lefty spots, stuff like that.
It makes those numbers look even worse, right? So it's a little hard to control completely for every situation he was in, just when you're looking at just base numbers. But you can just make the assumption that these numbers probably would look worse if these were all just starts. And then you just get the Brewers, who are going to feature righties that can do damage to you. Kane, Braun, Aguilar, even Hernan Perez, they've moved up to the top of the lineup at times against lefties. The ballpark's great. U.S. Cellular is definitely a power park. So it's not like the Brewers, I mean, Miller Park is too, so it's not like a huge park upgrade for them. But this is just another example of, you know, the Brewers right now are right around 5 implied runs. That's just a tick lower than where we have the Dodgers at. So I think this is one, and they're just all coming a little cheaper, and they're probably just by and large better hitters across the board, and they definitely get the worst of the matchup. So the fact that Santiago's so bad, the walk rate, just really everything about him profiles.
The home run rate is really the thing that brings me to Santiago too. I mean, the guy the last two seasons has averaged 2 home runs per nine over 114 innings. That is like world record sort of territory, and it's no fluke. The guy just, you know, gets guys on base, and he gives up. He only generates ground balls on 30% of his balls in play, right? So yeah, from top to bottom, Santiago is just a dream spot for opposing DFS righties in particular.
I have a couple more, but where else were you looking to possibly either just one off some guys, or, you know, if we're looking for full course fades, other teams that we can kind of put together in good matchups?
Yeah, well, one guy who might be flexing into becoming the right-handed Hector Santiago, Doug, that's high praise, is Ian Kennedy. Ian Kennedy, I mean, he's always been a guy that's been kind of coming and going. The last couple of years, he's been more in the going direction. I mean, I guess his Ks are up a little bit this season, but again, like Santiago, a 30% ground ball rate and a ton of hard contact means that he's going to be one of these guys that flirts with 2 home runs per nine as well. I mean, this is a guy who 3 years ago, when he was a decidedly better pitcher, pitching in Petco, I managed to give up 1.7 home runs per nine, right? So like, he's no stranger to just getting in there and just watching the ball fly off people's bats at 100 miles an hour. I really like stacking the A's against Kennedy tonight. I mean, again, it might be more of an offbeat one. It's not like a classic, maybe like a high floor cash game stack, but like in terms of being an unexciting team, the Vegas thinks is going to score a lot of runs. I definitely like the A's for big tournaments, kind of the more offbeat stacks when everyone's going in more obvious directions.
One of the reasons you can stay, one of the other reasons that you, or our system at least, is defaulting to this Cole Sale matchup, excuse me, the Cole Sale pairing on DraftKings is because you are getting, you know, I mentioned Dyson at 3,200 on DraftKings hitting leadoff in a great spot. Matt Joyce, 3,200 hitting leadoff in a great spot. Like, these are the one-offs that you're just getting on DraftKings today. As long as they, look, these are projected lineups, but the Joyce thing, that's they've been pretty lockstep with how they've deployed their lineups on a day-to-day basis. So I'm not really worried about that, and Dyson as well. But when you're getting these sub 3,500 leadoff hitters against bad pitchers, this is the exact reason you can just pay up for pitching. I mean, Alex Blandino fits the bill too. I'm switching over to the Reds, but he's only 2,900 coming in at third base. He's projected to hit leadoff. But even if he didn't, like, they've been hitting guys like Jesse Winker leadoffs, and he's cheap as well. So there's just lots of these different, very cheap leadoff hitting options, which is exactly, you know, just for the uninitiated, that plate appearance expectation is really just the number one driving factor. Not the only one, but clearly one of the best ones to decide what kind of value you're going to get on a day-to-day basis in baseball, because the only way you score points is by simply stepping up to the plate. Like, this, you don't have a chance to score them otherwise. So whenever you get these leadoff hitters in bad spots, and they're all coming really damn close to punt prices, this is why we can roster up and just take a couple of these expensive pitchers. Anyone else before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, again, just a number of sort of just fine spots. I think it's another night where you can go in a bunch of different directions in terms of stacking for your big tournaments. So you definitely don't need to get just like cornered in by the chalk. You got Jaime Garcia going against Detroit. On the other end, you got Blaine Hardy going back against the Blue Jays. Both of those guys are lefties that can give up some serious damage to right-handed bats. The Chicago-New York game features Chatwood and Wheeler. It's a pick'em with a 9 total. So, you know, plenty of runs to be scored there. I think really the big takeaway for me tonight is I don't need to settle for taking guys against pretty good pitchers, you know? So like, I'll probably try to avoid the Pittsburgh-St. Louis game that has pretty good guys going in both directions there. I'll try to not probably run guys from the Philly-San Francisco game, you know? Like, I think there's enough bad pitchers, especially guys that don't strike anyone out, think Mike Leake or Bartolo Colon, that I can get a really, really nice, solidly high floor tonight without really sticking my neck out very much. So that's going to be my plan going into both cash games and big tournaments.
Yep, and then you do get a couple bad offenses against relatively unknown / bad pitchers. Like, you get the Marlins against Clay Buchholz. I could see, like, I could make a case on both sides of this ball. It would just make a case that Buchholz has some upside because the Marlins are so bad.
Sure.
I can also make a case that the Marlins has some upside because Buchholz is horrible. So, like, he's
Ultimately, these are major league hitters who, like, when they hit the ball, like, especially a good thing to key in on to follow up on your point there is if a lot of hitters are bad because they strike out a lot. But if you're facing a guy with 5 Ks per nine or whatever, you're not going to strike out nearly as much as you are against even a guy with 7 Ks per nine. Because the difference there is basically if you strike out only 5 guys per nine, you're striking people out by accident. Like, you got a couple foul balls and then a guy got caught looking or something, right? Like, you're not generating a lot of
stuff. Oh, if you're Clay Buchholz, yeah, you'd give your left arm for a 5K per nine rate. Like, he's like, that would be a 20% upgrade or a 25% upgrade on what he's doing so far this year. So
who was that pitcher back in the day? Jim Abbott.
Jim Abbott. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, too soon. So anyway, yeah, so Buchholz stinks. I know the ERA.
4 Ks for nine. I haven't even looked. Oh, my God.
His ERA is four runs higher, and it's only 11 innings, but his ERA is four runs higher.
Cut to Buchholz doing the old school Jeremy Hellickson. Oh, sorry. I didn't know my job was to get strikeouts. I thought it was to actually get outs. That's a clip that didn't age very well.
Does not last for long. All right, we're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system. We'll be back again next Tuesday talking more baseball. Big night in baseball tonight. James will be on the system in our members-only chat taking questions and discussing how lineups are kind of shaking out. Buddy, enjoy your Friday night.
Yeah, man. Peace.
RIP, Cavs.